That I was given this morning. Some of you might be familiar with a book that was written many years ago called If Jesus Came to My House, and it was a children's book, and it was illustrated with pictures, obviously, and then a text about what would I do if Jesus came to my house through the eyes of a child. And Nick Drake is a singer, composer, musician who I very much admire and like his music, and this book was written by somebody who was also a Nick Drake fan and wrote very much in the style of that, and it sort of parallels the original book, and it finishes with, so bearing in mind that Nick Drake was a musician. And it finishes with, after Nick Drake has left, and it says, "And I can share his records with other people who may not have heard those precious songs, so beautiful and few." And I thought that mirrors very nicely just kind of what we're thinking about this morning, that Jesus, who came to us as a baby, grew as a man, and is no longer physically present with us, but he has left his message, the records, the song of his life that we can share with others, including those who've not yet heard those precious songs. And so We're going to sing again. It's number 210 if you're using the books. Love Came Down at Christmas. Who know me quite well will know that I'm not necessarily noted for being the most quiet and reflective of people. Maybe laughs from the back there, from the person that lives with me. But as I've got older, I have come to appreciate quiet and stillness a great deal more. And this year, the Methodist Church produced some Advent and Christmas resources called Hush the Noise, based on the hymn It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. And it's encouraging us to make space amidst all of the noise and the sensory overload that accompany the trappings of a commercial, secular Christmas. And as I was looking through the resources and thinking about our readings for today, and just this, the idea of light and of peace, my thoughts turned, as they have done often throughout this year, to things that are a little bit more down to earth in terms of our house renovation. Now, apologies for those of you who have heard me talk about this on a number of occasions, but this process has been going on for most of this year, and thinking about the contrast between the noise and the quiet, between Jesus as the light of the world and amidst the darkness and the peace that Jesus brings, it just made me think of some of the contrasts that we have lived through between the carnage of the building work and then the emerging calm and almost order. The transition from a home that we were very fortunate to have, but which had potential to become even more. Hospitality that we could offer space for what's important to us, and something that was more sustainable and environmentally friendly. And I felt that there were some parallels between that and what the message is saying to us about what Christmas and the coming of Christ can mean in our lives. And during this long 10-month, noisy, exhausting, painful process that included 10 weeks of journeying to temporary homes in different places, now it's nearly finished. And last week, the last of the scaffolding was taken down, the skip was removed from the front garden, and the builders took away most of their stuff. And possibly even more welcome was the fact that we didn't have the key turning in the lock at 8 o'clock pretty much every morning, and then a house full of people coming in and making a lot of noise and doing some very skilled work. But apart from that, I just really hadn't expected how different everything feels. And it wasn't just the relief of all of those things stopping and going away. It was, what struck me most is the light and the sense of peace. Rooms which are lighter, even at this time of year, because the windows are no longer obscured by scaffolding. Stepping out of the front door and feeling the airiness and the simplicity of walking up the front path without having to dodge scaffolding poles, and seeing the front garden not looking like Steptoe's junkyard. No banging or drilling, just the chatter of the starlings and the songs of the robin and the blackbird. And a realization that light and peace aren't just an absence of darkness and noise. There's something that you can kind of really feel and sense as a presence, not just when the other things stop. And so as we reflect on those words from Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. How can we hush the noise and make space amidst the clutter around us? How will it change us? And what will we do? And in Luke, we were told that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. They were changed by what they had seen, and in turn, they shared their joy with others. And so my prayer is that we too, all of us, may be changed by the light and joy and peace of the Christ child, that emerged from the long, painful, arduous journey to his birth. And like the shepherds, may we share that light, joy, and peace with those around us. Amen. As we come to our prayers of intercession, I'm sure that we are all very much mindful of the war and conflict and troubles around the world and of people closer to home who are struggling. One of our friends is currently the Dean of St George's College in Jerusalem, and he has written very movingly of the experience that they have of living in that place at the moment over this last 18 months with the war, and I just read a short paragraph that he's written, and perhaps we can continue reflecting on that and other people in similar situations throughout the world. This is from Richard Sewell, and he said, "When sharing my experience of living in Jerusalem over this past year of a brutal war, in which civilian deaths and the deaths of women and children are continuing at horrendous levels every day, the question of where to find hope is the most persistent question. No Christian can hold on to their faith and abandon hope. But it is concerning when people rush to the comfort blanket of hope before taking in the awful reality of the suffering that is being endured in Israel, Palestine, and Lebanon, and elsewhere, of course. Hope cannot simply be a synonym for optimism. Christmas in a time of war will be infused with the focused reality of Advent's traditional themes of the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, which much better reflects the present reality in the Holy Land. At the moment, we are in the context of the hell that is Gaza, and the images of death are never far from mind. But the image of heaven must ultimately prevail, because the incarnation is God's fulfillment of the promise in hope, but not in a false, optimistic way, but in that holding on to the hope and faith that the light does come into the darkness, has come into the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. So let us pray.